It's my life on track with God. I find this is a problem that people have, sometimes it's just a need, not a problem. People need to know where they are on the scale of your journey. They also need to know, does God like what I'm doing? Am I in the right place? Am I going where He's going? That kind of thing. And they like to know, am I getting somewhere? You know, one day Jacob awakened from his sleep to see angels traversing ladders into heaven. Now, when you see things like that, you get the idea God's visiting you.
Yes.
His odd response was, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. So he gave that special place a name as the place where he met with God. Wherever you meet with God, you're always going to remember that place and that time. I thought we had just a real nice meeting with God this morning.
Yes.
And I liked it when someone exhorted, you know, just receive from the Lord. And I heard someone behind me say, I receive this. Because I wanted to say to you, hey, the way you receive something is say, I receive it. You don't just stand there and say, do it to me, God, if you can.
Right.
Just open yourself wide open and say, thank you, God. I receive it.
Amen.
Today, we'd call this a God encounter, when you have a fresh touch with God. To me, there's nothing more wonderful or more valuable than to have a time of meeting with God. Does anybody know of any better time on earth? Not even if the whoever won the World Series, right?
Right.
Was it the Cubs that was so wonderful about? I can't, that shows you how deep I am into it. But a meeting with God is the true north on the compass of life. And I felt the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. A meeting with God is the true north on the compass of life. It is the beginning place where I situate myself in eternity as I relate to Him today. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Or it is where my alignment with God is confirmed. I have peace that I am on track with Him and His will for my life. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know where I am on the journey. I want to know if I'm heading in the right direction. And if not, I want to recalibrate. One of the most wonderful things that I have ever experienced as a believer is having times when the presence of God is in our midst as a church. This morning is an example. And we know that we are touching Him and He is touching us. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. A.W. Tozer mentions this in a book that he writes where he makes this breakthrough statement that you can actually feel God. You know, a lot of evangelical people don't feel this. They don't have no truck with any feeling kind of religion. It's all got to be just what you believe. And sometimes that to them only means what's in your head. It's not just what's in your head, what you can talk about, what you think about. It's what you feel about. Oh, taste and see. Those are both senses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And many times we've gone home meeting after meeting with a sense of feeling satisfied or gratified that we have experienced God moving among us because there's nothing higher. And since we've discovered that we can actually have wonderful times in His presence, then we begin to live our days looking forward to the next time, don't we? The things in between we call the meantime. It's just the times we're waiting till we have a meeting with God again. That's just the meantime. Sometimes it can be meaner than worse. I am expecting my next meeting with Him is the way our posture is. Hey, everybody said, I'm expecting another meeting with God soon.
Yes.
You expect to have meetings with God. Expect to have meetings with Him. I'm expecting my next meeting with Him. In the meantime, this is how I live my life. So I'm going to ask this question today. Am I on track? You know, before you surrendered your life to Jesus, your life was lived helter-skelter, wasn't it? Sometimes it was more like life was living you. Whatever happened, you responded. You were not usually the instigator of hardly anything. You lived with the sense that life was just dragging you around, or that your life was adrift, which it was. If you hadn't surrendered to Jesus, your life was adrift. As a whole, your life is divided into two sections, before surrendering to Jesus and afterwards. That's the only sections there are in life. Before Jesus, after Jesus. When you became his follower, you quit following the dictates of the world. By the way, the world will use you and abuse you and cast you aside. You are not indebted to the world culture. Well, they say, and somebody thinks, it doesn't matter. We are kingdom people. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are not obligated to the insanities of the world. Now he is Lord of your life, and you seek the kingdom first. As the scripture says, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. I don't belong to myself. We belong to Jesus. It's a wonderful life because when you're seeking the kingdom first, he adds everything you need as a reward for making him Lord. Now Matthew 6 verse 31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, one reason that we worry about these ordinary things of life, it's okay to think about them in a sensible way and to prepare for things, but not to dote on them and focus on them and make them your whole life. You know, we had someone visiting from another country once, and they said, the thing I notice about Americans is they talk about food all the time. We don't have to talk about it all the time. We don't have to think about it all the time. Or clothes, this and that. That's so cute. Oh, I've got to have this, and I've got to have it. It's fine. Have the things. Enjoy the things. But keep your focus on seeking the kingdom first. It's what's first is what really matters. All these things, the Gentiles, I mean, unbelievers, heathen, they're seeking after all of those things, but we are seeking the kingdom of God first. And he's going to add everything. Can we get to the place where we really believe, if I seek the kingdom, if I go after the kingdom first, he's going to add, he's going to give me everything I need. You should see the little bird nest that Joan found in our driveway and gave to Jean Call because she collects bird nests. It was the most intricate. It was about the size of a Coke bottle holder, you know, one of those trying to demonstrate the size. And it was perfect. I mean, it looked like, I don't even know how to say it. It was just beautifully made as a piece of art. And I thought, any God that can whisper to birds and tell them how to do that has got to care about whether you have a hamburger for lunch. He only has one requirement. We seek the kingdom first. He's promised he will add everything. You know, in Malachi 3, it says, if we bring all the tithes into the storehouse, he will pour out a blessing that we won't be able to contain. And he will rebuke the devourer for us. In other words, he will meet all of your need if you first meet the obedience of what he requires of us, which is only the tithe, which is an amazing thing. He only requires that we faithfully give him the tithe first. Believe it or not, there was something I could teach Dr. Pickett. She's such a spiritual genius. But I did teach her at the scripture, and it's all through the Old Testament, the law of first. It's not, if I laid 10 $1 bills down, our people know this, a child can do it. If I laid 10 $1 bills down, I would ask our children, which one is the tithe? They wouldn't say just any of them. They'd say the one you laid down first. See, you got to first, you got to give him the first dollar that you receive. And it has to be before everything. So from that day, Dr. Pickett said, this is important, Sue. No, she didn't call me Sue. She called me Pastor. Pastor, this is important. And she said, now I write that tithe check before I write any other check. I just have to say, Fuchsia Pickett was one of the best sheep I ever had. Now it's fine to seek other things such as education, success on jobs, but we got to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. But I want to get to something here today that I think will help you. I want to share this with you. I think it'll help you live in your life, and I think it'll encourage you and give you hope. And you can start looking for some things that you haven't been expecting before. How many of you like that idea?
Amen.
God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know that after our revival in 1980, during the revival we just prayed outrageously, and then after the revival we still prayed a whole lot. We still pray more than a lot of churches do, but I want to tell you something. When you diligently seek God, He rewards you in all kinds of ways you didn't even expect. And that's what happened. I remember being in those revival meetings, and in those days I hardly knew what a pain was, but I had a little problem with my elbow, and just while we were sitting in those meetings, that my elbow just got itself healed sitting there. There was so much of the presence of God that He just added to us because we were seeking Him diligently. He added everything that we needed. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, some people say, well, you know, I pray, 10 minutes on the way to work or something. Now, we talk about diligently seeking Him. Those are the ones that are going to get rewards. This is not just an anybody thing, but it's something I'm going to encourage you with. A reward is a good thing. It's received in return for something valuable that is done or given. It's not the same as a bribe. A bribe is what I give you under the table if you do something for me. A reward is what I give you openly because what you did was valuable. And I want the whole world to know. I'm going to show you in the scripture, the Lord says He wants the whole world to know how much He's rewarding you. 1 Corinthians 3:8, the one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. Jane was just talking about our purpose. We've all got the same purpose. The scripture says that the earth He's given to the children of men. If He's given the earth to us, we better start fixing it up some around here.
Yes.
And we have been set here on this earth. Our purpose is to bring others into the kingdom and take them to heaven with us. So we all have the same purpose. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. Each will receive a reward according to his own labor. Now, I don't want any reward for anything I do. You better. You better, because He wants to give it to you. Now, I'm not saying you're working for reward. I'm saying He's going to give it to you because He wants to reward you. Hey, how would you like to go all the way through college and do all of your classwork and everything that they required of you to do? I felt in my days of college that it was just an endurance test. After a while, I thought, this is not about learning. This is about just suffering through. Do you finally get it finished? Thank God. But you know what? If I hadn't gotten some degrees after that, I'd have felt absolutely cheated. And my degrees were my reward. And what those degrees mean, especially in other countries, I don't know if in America. I mean, really, I read a write-up on a pastor a while back and was introducing the pastor and said, and he does not have a college education, which makes him fit in really good around here. And I thought, well, let's not punish people for having a college education. And truly, you can fit in great without one, pastor or people, either one. But my point is this, people work hard that get their degrees and that finish their work, and they've done something valuable. So something valuable is going to be given them in return. In other countries like India and those places, they just think, if you're called doctor somebody, they just think that's the living end. Around here it doesn't mean all that much to people. But nevertheless, it is a reward. That certificate is a reward. The scripture speaks of several kinds of eternal rewards that we can expect for certain works. How many of you know this? I preached a message one time on the 7 rewards that God promises us in eternity. It ain't all he's going to give us ain't over yet. It's just beginning.
Right.
We've got a lot of good stuff waiting for us in heaven. That's an amazing thing. But here's what I want to be burned in your heart. Salvation does not come through rewards. It is a free gift. And you can't do anything to earn it or to deserve it. You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're saved, you're saved. And doing works doesn't make you more saved. So that's not at all what I'm... In fact, this is why I want to wash you of that, so you can enjoy the rewards that God wants to give you. He's got them laid up. He says that when he comes... Did you know this? When he returns, his reward is with him. He's bringing a reward with him when he comes. He's a God who believes in rewards. I don't know why we haven't caught on to this, because we really are the good job society. We're always, I mean, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. Nobody does that like you do. Now, when I'm at the pool exercising, these little kids are drowning, and they tell them they're doing a great job. It's just great. I thought, oh, they're teaching drowning today. They're doing great. So whatever people do, they want to have a reward, but the real fact is you get rewards for the things that are valuable. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You cannot do enough righteous things to get yourself saved. But you can believe in him and let the Holy Ghost do a work of regeneration in you. Rewards come specifically because of the things that we do and obey. Not as a part of our salvation, but in addition. It's like seeking the kingdom first and everything else is given to you. And as a part of your coming to the Lord, after that, he begins to acknowledge and reward your obedience. One of the great missionaries said the success of his life was simply a long obedience. Heidi says, here's the way she says it. Whatever God asks of me, the answer is yes. And whatever it's going to be, I tell him the answer is yes before I know what it is. Well, that's not so hard. Well, what do you want to do? What the devil wants you to do? I want to do what God wants me to do. So I'm going to say, Lord, it may be hard, and you may have to help me figure it out, but if you want me to do it, I want to do it. Now in Matthew 25, I want to give you an example of rewards here. In the parable of the talents, one servant was given 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, according to his ability. His master returned to see what he had done with what he gave him. And he gave them rewards. Not a promise, but a reward. You don't have to wait till heaven to get rewards. You don't need to be perfect to receive rewards, but only you need to keep following in obedience. Following in obedience. I know there's a person who I've talked to from time to time that wants to get regular in church but has a problem getting established to faithfully come. And she said to me more than once, I just need to be obedient. Isn't that true? To get established, we just need to be obedient. I mean, there's no devil in hell that can keep you from getting up and getting dressed and coming to church. It has to be your own decision. But if you decide to obey, then look at the reward there is for you making that choice. Galatians 6:7 is a pivotal scripture, really. It shows us how God works. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He watches our lives, everything we do, and at certain seasons, it's time for reward. Some people are worried when they read this scripture because they say, oh man, I've sown so many bad seeds. I've sown so much to the flesh. Well, hello. Start another crop. You just start on that day you found out that this is real in the things of God. You ask His forgiveness. The scripture also says that He not only forgives, He forgets. Come on. He's into it. You saw Jesus with the woman at the well and how many other situations. He's the God of new beginnings. And some of us have planted some pretty rotten stuff and have already reaped some pretty rotten stuff. You know, you can't at the other end of sowing corruption, you can't reap holiness, of course. But you can start a new crop. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Some people have some wonderful reaping already that they're doing in their lives. For example, if you regularly speak in tongues, you're going to reap a more spiritual life and a more free life and have more opportunity to move and flow in the gifts. Is this right?
Yes.
Well, see, this is a reward for sowing to the Spirit. Sow in the Spirit. In the scripture, there's many promises of rewards. For example, in the Psalms it says, blessed is the man who considers the poor. The Lord will make all his bed in suffering. That's one of the things that I prayed for Pastor John when he was getting so much better, which he is today, so much better today, I'm saying. Boy, he is really so much better. We're excited about it. And we just need you to continue to pray for strength in those legs and in his back that he can stand and walk, not just like he used to, but better than.
Amen.
And his prayer is that he can walk without any kind of help. This is what he's looking for. But I would pray this prayer for him. Blessed is the man that considers the poor, because during the time after John had this attack of the enemy, I had to take over our personal finances. Well, I hadn't paid much attention to them in years. And so I looked at him and I thought, well, this is interesting. Oh, we give to that. Oh, we give to this. Oh, I see, we give to that. This is above tithes and offerings. We're given to all these places. And I thought, that scripture's going to really work for John. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will make all his bed in suffering. That's a promise. Then the reward is that he will do that. Because he sees that you have done that and that is valuable to him. It's a promise, it's a reward. And there's a reward for praying and giving in Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now this is an amazing scripture. I'm laughing because I'm going to tell you something funny. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. I didn't mean to ask some scholar, did they really do that? Toot, 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 it's me coming to give. I just don't know what kind of a picture I have of that. But let me just apply it to where we live today. There are some people that do make it known that they give. And I've heard some people say, I'm going to give such and such, and I gave such and such. I think I ought to give him so and so and such. What do you think about me giving that? I just give it. You don't need my opinion. If you have any inclination at all to give, by all means give. That they may have glory of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What does that mean? They're not going to get a reward for that. God's not going to give them a reward. Their reward was to hear the praises of men. They got instant reward by letting their pride be petted one more time. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So if you're praying, it's just to be seen of men. For example, if you only pray publicly, you're a hypocrite. That's what the scripture says. But don't quit praying publicly, Jane. Just keep it up. But the fact of the matter is, if you prayed in public just to be seen and heard of men, then he says again, you have your reward. I'm not going to reward you for praying so that people will think you pray. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut that door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Well, now, I don't want any reward. Yes, you do. You keep that thing down all the time because you think you're not supposed to. I'm not saying you should do it for reward. I'm saying this is how God works, and be thankful that He does. I mean, no, I don't go through the bedroom after I'm dressed just so John will say, you look really great in that or something. But I like it when he does. Isn't God understands. He wants to show us love. By the way, He wants to show us appreciation. If He thinks what you did is valuable, He's going to show you a reward. He will reward us where everyone can see, and we will know this is our reward. I think it's exactly right to do things not expecting anything back from those people or that person, because that's when you get into resentment. After all this I did for him, you'd have been doing something that wasn't that valuable anyway. Don't worry about wasting your time with these people that don't ever do anything back for you. Just don't worry about it, because it pleased God. And so what I was laughing about a while ago, I interrupted myself, thinking about a man who, he didn't want to give tithe. He didn't want to tithe because he couldn't figure out how to do it without his right hand knowing what his left hand was doing. And I said, that is one of the craziest things I think I've ever heard. That's what I was laughing about. By the way, he finally got it worked out and saw that. There was a little bit of misinterpretation there on that. There are seasons of life. And the book of Ecclesiastes is full of it, right? It's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time to give, there's a time to get. I recently experienced a season of reward in my life. Now, I believe that God does reward. And I have experienced it, but I also know that's the kind of God we serve, because, you know, Psalm 91 says, because He has set His love on me, I will satisfy Him with a long life. In other words, God gives things for other things. When you do this, God does this. Now, that doesn't mean you won't ever have any trouble. Bad things won't ever happen to you. None of that kind of thing. It doesn't mean that. But, you know, if Heidi Baker told about how in the early days of her ministry, they had a building that they could have 300 mostly orphans and people in there. And the government took it away from them, took the house away from them. So now they had nothing. They were worshiping under a tree. And she said, I was crying and saying to God, how can a loving Heavenly Father allow this thing to happen? God, I don't understand you. And so a lady brought Heidi and her family, I think there was maybe three or four of them at the time, enough food for their family to eat that night. And Heidi began to spoon it out until 300 people ate and were full. In times that are really dark, you don't know exactly when the reward is going to, it'll be a season where you have accrued enough of what God appreciates that He's going to give something back into your life. I've always known it to be this way. I've seen it through the years. And sometimes I've said to the Lord when I'm praying, I can't hack any more of this if you don't help me. I need you to come through. Lord, I need to touch you. I need to hear your voice. I need you to give me a scripture. I need somebody to call me and give me a word. I need something to get me through this thing and just really pour out my heart to him. And it won't be long until something like that will happen. He just doesn't tempt us beyond what we are able to bear. We have dark times. We have times that Mother Teresa, for example, writes, and only it was uncovered only more recently, that she had written to her archbishop or whoever's over her about times of darkness, and she wrote this a number of times about the darkness. I wanted to text Heidi and ask her about this, but I'm afraid to push that. You know, she's such a busy person. So I saved those text answers for something I absolutely have to know. But Heidi has really studied Mother Teresa and to learn about suffering and these things. But Mother Teresa said that in her darkest hours that she felt God had abandoned her. You may have felt that way sometimes, that God just wasn't interested her in anymore. And yet, she had such a ministry that she even received the Nobel Prize for Peace, International Award. And we all know how the world acknowledges the beauty. She's the one that says, we want to do something beautiful for God. And the Archbishop said that she didn't really want people to know about these things, but he said, I've decided to make it known because I believe it will greatly encourage those that are suffering, serving Jesus, don't have all the answers, that they'll keep on walking, dark or light, because the reward is coming. That's really an amazing thing to understand. So am I on track with God? His call on our life is to seek the kingdom first and walk in obedience as long as we live. It's to plan to come to church every Sunday morning as long as you live. Imagine that. Some people, you know, I once went through a spell where I just didn't go to church much at all. Well, quit that. We're called to obedience. You just come on to church. You just prepare for a long obedience, and you can be among those that get a reward. You can reap some things. You can reap a great harvest for your obedience. That's what the Word of God teaches. He's not paying you to be good. He's bringing you up to His level of giving and receiving, because this is how He rewards those that obey. And He gives them, I guess you'd call it, a little something extra. Heidi shared with me how extremely difficult it was when Roland was temporarily taken out of commission by dementia. When I was there a number of years ago, he was coming down with it, and so I knew the situation. But she kept being obedient and trusting God's goodness, and now Roland is perfectly well. But the doctors had given him 2 weeks to live. But then Heidi entered a season of reward. And Meltari came and collected Roland and said, you're going with me to Germany? I know a place that brings healing for this. Amazing. I want to share something with you here that I recently experienced. It's about the loss of my dog, Missy, who lived to be 22 years and 6 months. Now, the reason she lived so long is whatever happened, I had everybody on the planet praying for. And she once or twice had very serious brushes with death, but then she would come out of it and recover. And it was such a tremendous thing. Well, you understand, if she's 22 years and 9 months, it was not six. 21. 21 years and 9 months. The mathematician is always there to help me. Heaven is a place where details don't really matter. Just kidding. For those of us who wish we didn't always have to worry about it. And so I wanted to share this with you about my Missy, because it became a season of reward for me. It's the most amazing thing. When I saw, you know, her hindquarters broke down, and when I saw that she wasn't going to be able to walk or to get around, I was so, it gave me such pain, thank you, to see her pain. And the vet had already mentioned perhaps it's time, they use all these big words, and it means putting your precious doggy down. Euthanized. Maybe I would want to be thinking about that. And so I was just horrified. I just thought, I know that people sometimes have to do this, but Lord, you know what my heart is, and you know how this would be so unbelievably painful to me. So I asked the Lord, I know she's old. I know I have to part with her at some point before too long. I just ask this one thing. Don't let it be so that I have to take her to the vet. Lord, you can just take her, because the scripture says he takes their breath, they die. And so I prayed that night in my swing, that prayer, and 5:30 the next morning she went on. I immediately called, texted my friends that I thought believed in dogs going to heaven. At Sandra Kennedy, Heidi Baker. And they all assured me absolutely they go to heaven. Well, see, I didn't believe this before. Now, just being honest, I couldn't been able to find a scripture for it. But I'm sure that some of you all are geniuses, and you probably have one. But nevertheless, I was so greatly encouraged. I said, well, I think I can live with it so much better if I think that I can see her again. So God did that thing for me, number one. So I began to pray about it, and I said, Lord, the scripture says he bears our griefs and carries our sorrows. And I said, Lord, you know I can't bear this. You know I just cannot live with it. Can't. You see, when I was really sick a few years ago, she was like a little sentinel, and she would follow me. It got so bad, I went in the other bedroom so I wouldn't keep John awake. And the next morning when I would wake up, there she would be sitting like a little sentinel on the end of the bed, just keeping watch, you know. So she would sometimes lick my face if I would cry. So all of these precious little things. You see, understand how I had to wait 2 weeks before I could tell you this little story. And so she just was so precious to me. And so I just thought it would break my heart when I saw that we were losing her. We had lost her. And so I prayed out to God, please, Lord, you've always been the healer of my grief. Please heal my grief. And please show me how to walk so that I can walk out of this. Because, Lord, I know that death has to come, but we just have to have you to get us through it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, go immediately and get another pet. And so she died at 5:30, and 10 o'clock I was at the animal shelter. And I went to 3 of them, one in Johnson City and 2 in Bluntville. It took quite a while. It was quite a long day. So by the time I got to the end of the day, I hadn't found a dog that I thought would be right. I can't handle and would be threatened by a large dog, you understand. And so it needed to be a smaller type dog. So I got to this last shelter on my list, And I had finished looking at all the dogs, and I just thought, well, I don't know how this is going to work. And about that time, I'm standing in the shelter, and an angel dressed in a dog catcher's outfit with a badge on walked over to me and said, "Lady, I have a dog I just brought in on the truck that I think you'll like." I said, "Well, take me to this dog." And so I went out to the truck, and so the dog jumped down out of the truck, and it probably had been lost a month or more. Who knows? Anyway, you see him now, he's beautiful, but then you couldn't even see his face, hair grown down all over his eyes, you know. But he was beautifully mannered. And I could tell immediately, he's 5 years old, and I could tell that somebody had trained him, and he really knew how to act. He was so sweet and so loving. And so I said, "Well, wrap that dog up. I'm taking that doggy with me." They broke all kinds of rules to get the thing, everything on track. But here's, yeah. Well, you'll all understand this. It's really kind of funny. I just have to tell it. So they said, "Well, you know, all you have to do is to take and to your vet, get the rabies shot, and get her spayed," they said. All right, I didn't look. They said it was her. They also told me she weighed 7 pounds. She weighed 17 pounds. I don't know what they were smoking that day, but I haven't told you. I mean, everything they said was so funny. And yet they saw my pain. Everybody wanted to help me. The dog catcher wanted to help me. The people there wanted to help me. Everybody said, "Oh, but that's okay. We can change that. You don't have to do it just that way." A lady said she'd come in on her day off and give her a bath and all this kind of business. And so we take the dog to the groomer, and I'm anxious to see the face of the dog. And it's such a beautiful, wonderful face. Oh, by the way, it's Opalopsa and Shih Tzu, and it's a tremendous, I think it was bred that way on purpose because of its wonderful temperament, just a wonderful temperament. But as we are driving away, we take her to the groomer, and she says, "Joan, this is absolutely a boy. This is not a girl." "And don't worry, he has been neutered." So I said, "Joan, what we should do is just put a necklace around him saying, 'Don't spay me.'" So anyway, when I get back home with this dog, we named the dog Star, because at the end of a very dark day, Star made me smile, and I saw some light again at the end of my tunnel. And I said, "Lord, how you must love me to end this pain in one day." And my doctor sent me a dozen white roses in memory of Missy, so that I could put a couple of roses out on her grave every day and go out and just, you know, thank God for her and this and that and the other. And the Lord showed me how to walk through that grief. And I'm just saying to us today that you don't know, you may not have any particular idea of what kind of things you were sowing that brought a time of reaping. But God sorts it all out. And I believe that there are seasons that I had come to a time, I had come to a season, and he let me reap some of the things, so that it put that day on a completely different day. And I was very thankful for that. And I'm thankful that I could tell this story without breaking down, because I wanted you to hear it. It's really beautiful that he would answer in that way. You may be asking this question today now. So, am I on track with God? Come on. This is James Rock. He played the drums for us in our conference or sometime, Easter.
Just what the Lord's laid on my heart was, first of all, when the angel was before Daniel, he said, "Thou art greatly beloved."
Yeah.
And but about, I guess it's been 2 weeks ago, most people don't know this, but the Lord laid something on my heart for you. And I came over here to the church, and nobody was here. And the whole time I was coming over here, he was just flooding me with stuff. And I was trying to just wait on him to see what he was saying and where he was going with it. And so I got here and nobody was here. Thank you. And so I left and I said, okay, you know. I went back to the shop, and then a little while later, he sent me back again. And when I got here, there were some ladies here in the side up there, and I asked if he was here, and I ain't much for microphones, there were some ladies here, and you weren't here, and I shared what the Lord was speaking to me, but you just preached on this, and God's just, he's so awesome, because sometimes he will set us up, you know, it just blows me away how awesome he is. A while back, and I've shared this with a couple people because it's just so awesome, I was in my shop, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I got a wood stove in my shop, and whoo, Jesus. he said, there's a bird in the stove, and he's alive. And I didn't hesitate. I turned around and I opened the wood stove, which it's summertime, so there wasn't a fire. And I opened it up, and there was this beautiful, I looked it up, it was a male eastern bluebird is what it was. Yes. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And so I opened the door, and when I looked down, it was sitting there looking right at me. And I've got a picture of it on my phone, and I ain't trembled like this in a while, but anyway, so I thought, you know, this is God. I thought, well, he might just get on my finger. And I was pushing the envelope that day, I guess, but anyway, it flew out of there, and I mean, just as graceful. Mm-hmm. It flew right out, flew by me, and flew on out of one room into the big part of the shop, and it started singing. Mm-hmm. And flying back and forth. And I let the Lord straighten all that out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to try to explain things, but he did give me a scripture for you that day. And I don't know, I guess it's been 2 weeks now, maybe. I think it was a Wednesday or...
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And it is, for God... It's not unrighteous to forget your work, labor, love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Thank you. I receive that, and I appreciate that word very much, James. Thank you for being faithful to God. Because the scripture says one has a song, one has a doctrine. And this is what the body of Christ is. When God, he speaks through different ones, and this is what makes the body of Christ so beautiful. And the thing that I wanted to say to you was that scripture in Galatians, if you want to know, are you on track with God? That scripture says that you'll reap what you sow. So you need to choose to reap to the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, so that you'll reap to the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you a few things that I thought about. Seasons of reaping coming. I believe that Judy stepped into a reaping season when the doctors kept trying to say there's something wrong with her heart. Even they said they'd seen it on tests, but we prayed. And she went back, and I think that was a due season there of reaping for that. Or when John got through his ordeal with all of the areas that had been affected recovered. That's reaping in a due season. And I want us to see the hand of God in our lives. And so, in Scripture says that you will reap in, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. And I just want to say this to you. This is what I sense in it. Some things that we do, sometimes the devil tells us it didn't make you anything but tired. Or people don't appreciate that. Or other people don't think they have to do that. Or you don't relax enough. You shouldn't be doing these things. But you see, there's this thing of just being faithful and obedient in seeking the things of the kingdom first, in doing the things that you know that God wants you to do. And He remembers these things. And the Scripture clearly says that in due season you will reap. And I want to encourage you with this. There are some of you that have prayed and worked for the harvest. I believe the Lord wants me to tell you today that you're entering into a due season. Amen. You have labored in lots of ways. Some maybe have labored in teaching or feeding, doing a food pantry, you know, going to people's homes for various things, inviting people to church, bringing people to church. You've done a whole lot of different things. And don't be weary. Don't be weary, because you have done the things that God wants you to do. The Scripture says that we will come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us, and that those sheaves shall be our reward, because we are co-laborers with Him. We're not just winning those people for Him. We're winning them for us, all of us, together in the kingdom of God. And there is a great, the Scripture says that one plants, another sows, but you all reap the same reward. And so whatever it is that you do, you don't know how much I yearn to get my feet totally back. So when I want to, I can just run up and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, we got this thing going with our kids. I'm the pastor of the church. Just want you to know you're so welcome. That's the kind of thing I yearn to do. Would you pray that that'll happen for me? Meanwhile, will you just do some of that for me till I get there? I would greatly appreciate it. One time I just took a wild hair, and there's an area up here called Saddle Ridge. And I just went up there. It was about 5 or 5:30 one day. And I knocked on the doors, and people just getting their meals ready. Everybody just received me so well. Some of them, you know, said it'd be fine if you want to eat with us, whatever. We just live our lives so scared to just jump out and do anything. I just go introduce myself to people and say, hi, I'm the pastor of the church over here. Just wanted to know if you have anything I could help you pray about. You don't have to make them feel like they're targets on your gun belt or something like that. No, we're not after that. We're not after keeping score. We're after laboring in the harvest. That's what God has called us to do. Isn't He wonderful? Let's stand together in His presence. James, thank you for being obedient to God and sharing that. I receive that. I need to hear that. That's the kind of encouragement that I need to hear. It's, yeah, it is. It really is. I received an email recently that told me that, you remember that I've told you about the time that John and I took the 80 young people from the Methodist Church and the kids all gave their hearts to the Lord and we entered into revival that day? I got this email that said the last person, the person that held out and did not give his heart to the Lord in those meetings, had just gotten saved. This is a couple of 3 weeks ago. And it's good because he died also after that. And God, that was just so timely. I thought, boy, just reap that in due season. But how many years was that? 40-some years. I don't know, 50 maybe. He's faithful, isn't he? He's a faithful God. Well, let's just look to heaven and trust God. I believe today, as our hearts are bowed in his presence, that some of you have been encouraged today, that you didn't really know that you're going to be reaping some things. You thought it all had to come by your faith, but really and truly, the scripture says that there's a reward even if you pray. There's a reward just for praying. And that there are rewards for giving, and that there are rewards for working, being faithful to things. And I just want to bless you today, and I just want you to step into a fresh place of having an expectation that God's going to start opening up your due seasons for you, and you start believing him for that, for your healing, or for that person you're praying for that you want to reap in the harvest, for that job that you've been looking for, that the Lord will make that open. It's time for some reaping. And God knows exactly when the time is. It'll be in due season. He's going to provide that for you. So I wonder if you just lift your hands and I want to just pray for you. Father, I just believe in you in Jesus' name that fresh times of reaping are here. Due seasons. Those things, Lord, that you're sending our way, let it be now. Let there be breakthrough. And we declare, Lord, that we are believers. We are believers that we cannot outgive you. You're always giving back to us. And we believe you, wonderful Jesus, that you have many wonderful things that you want to give us still. And I pray, Lord, that you'll increase our faith every day, that you also will encourage us from knowing that as we've been faithful, that we are going to reap, and also it will encourage us, if we haven't been faithful, to start a new crop. Thank you, Lord, that we can start sowing a new crop. We can be obedient in our church attendance. We can be obedient in praying and seeking your face, Lord. We can be obedient and reaching out to the harvest. And we just declare, Lord, we want to set a new obedience and looking forward for a new reaping. And we thank you and praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' wonderful name.